This is Doug Miller. I don't want to shock any of you unduly, but you know, a lot of Christians have very bad attitudes. Stick around, let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are privileged to be back with you one more time this side of eternity with the Bible in hand to look into this Word, which is profitable, which indeed is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. So come along. We're in the 12th chapter of Hebrews. Open your Bible up. Call a friend. Tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue, as I have told you many times and will continue to tell you, is brought to you every week at this time right here on this station by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this Word go out. If you're waiting for an encore, that's all we do. It's all I'm going to do. Don't plan to do anything else. There are plenty of other worthwhile ministries out there that do other things, and praise the Lord for them. We support them and pray for them, but this is what we do. Just put the Word out with the sure and certain promise of God that He will honor His Word, and lives will be changed, and that's a wonderful thing to know. Also an awesome responsibility, in case you haven't thought about it, so you know, we covet your prayers. We are absolutely dependent on your support. Pray for us. Tell others about us. And as I always say, too, we'd love to hear from you. Sit down and write us a letter. If it's nothing more than, brother, we're here, right on, or anything like that. It's very encouraging to hear from our listeners. Our mailing address, Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Now, if you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy, and Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. Now, I started out by saying a lot of Christians have very bad attitudes. Well, are you able, those of you who are listening to me, are you able to look at yourself and to examine yourself in the light of God's Word and to ask yourself whether or not that applies to you? I think we all, at one time or another, we all have a tendency to get discouraged. You know, life can slap you around a little bit. It can kick you around and knock you down and step on you. And yet, we are constantly told, I mean, you go back and read the letter to the Philippians. We may need to go through that one because that's an important letter. And as a matter of fact, you can pray about that if you want to pray about something. We'll be finishing up Hebrews one of these days in the probably not too distant future. And if you want to pray about something or talk to me about something, you might write in and say, brother, why don't you take up such and such or teach this or teach that, or just pray that the Lord will give me insight into what to teach and what I should take up next. But Philippians is a good letter to read because Paul wrote it from a prison. He was locked up. And from inside that prison, he wrote this marvelous letter, which contains what you've heard me call many times my life verse, or verses, if you want to look at it that way, Philippians 3, 10 through 15. I love it. Quote it to myself all the time. And in that letter to the Philippians, he uses the word joy or rejoice. I think I counted it one time, or its equivalent, something like 40 times. Probably need to go back and count those again. Can you imagine? He says in that letter to the Philippians in the last chapter, I have learned whatever state I'm in therewith to be content. Rejoice in the Lord always, he says, and again I say rejoice. Paul said, I've learned it. Now, how do you learn those kind of things? Well, I can tell you real easily how you learn those kind of things. You learn those things by being put in a situation where you're given an opportunity to learn. And that means trials. That means difficulties. We have God's word for it, 1 Corinthians 10:13, a verse I memorized well over 50 years ago when I was a new Christian, because some of the navigators handed it to me and said, "Here, son, memorize this." And I did. "There hath no temptation," and the word for temptation there is trial, "no temptation or trial taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you or allow you to be tempted or tried above that ye are able or above your ability to withstand, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it." We have God's word for it, that he is faithful. He will never, he knows how long, if he puts a roll in the oven to bake it, he knows exactly how long to keep it in there. He knows when the heat is too intense. He knows when to take you out. And you can count on it, friends. Listen to me carefully now. Everything that happens to you as a believer, in fact, everything that happens to you as an unbeliever, is at least within God's permissive will. Did you hear that? He might not have willed it or done it directly to you, but he has at least within his permissive will allowed it to happen because God is sovereign. Now, did you get that? God has never yielded one iota of his sovereignty over to anyone. He has, within certain parameters, given us freedom of choice and freedom of will. And for those of you who say, "Well, can't we choose to do wrong?" Yes, God has given us a certain, within certain parameters, freedom of choice and will. We can do things that we shouldn't do. But always, always, he is ultimately in control. And when things come into your life, and when you start moping around in their difficulties and complaining and whining and crying, who is it you're complaining against? It's against God. All complaining is basically against God, and that is utterly unbecoming for a Christian. Now, friends, some of you have lived through great tragedy. The guy who is talking to you right here is not unacquainted with that. We've all had our problems and we've had tragedies. And we have had to learn how to go on. Now let's pick this up in chapter 12, verse 4. "Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin." Simple statement of fact for these people. Maybe some of them did later on, but they hadn't at the time he wrote this letter. And yet the ones that we've been talking about back in that 11th chapter of Hebrews, the ones that we were talking about a few weeks ago, many of them did resist unto blood. Many of them had paid and suffered martyrdom. And when we look at the world we are living in right now, and we look at the direction things are going, one of the old brethren that is no longer with us, a man named Tom McCullough, told a man once, and he passed it on to me. He said, "Brother, when I see..." Tom was from Northern Ireland, incidentally, and he had this brogue. "And brother," he said, "I fear that the saints may have to testify with their blood." Well, we might. We might. If you can look at this world now and not understand that we are very much under the gun. There are a lot of people out there who would like nothing more than to wipe Christianity off the map and to do away with it and to shut it down altogether and to put an end to God. We have an enemy of our souls. I don't know what's going to happen in the future, but I know this. Paul said, "All who will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." All is the operative word. And Paul also in that verse, in that passage, you've heard me many times call my life verse, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Well, these people hadn't yet had that. And I can tell you right now, I don't know that I've ever actually suffered physically for my testimony or for my Christian faith. Someone may have made fun of me now and then, may have had a little, you know, but I don't know what's going to happen. These people had not yet resisted unto blood. But he goes on here and says, ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Now he, the writer, is quoting from the third chapter of Proverbs. Despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Now look at what he's saying here. Get hold of this. What he is saying is that anything that comes into our life, that is these trials and difficulties, basically it's the Lord that allows them. And once again, if you are going through, I don't know what you're going through right now, but understand that it is of the Lord. He could put a stop to it when he wants to put a stop to it. And if he doesn't put a stop to it, it is for your good. Look at what a man says here. He says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Now that is just a little piece of good advice and very clear advice from our experience as people. I was discussing the other day a man who's, we were talking and praying about him, really, with some friends, other believers, and this man is having all sorts of trouble right now with two of his sons. And one of the problems, that the reason he is he has not chastened them. He has not disciplined them. And now they're just going wild. They are absolutely out of control. Now, I don't know what kind of love that is to let your children get into a situation like that, but look at this. God will not allow that. If you are a believer, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you are a believer, is it possible for believers to get into sin? Absolutely. Been there, done that. Been into sin as a believer. I know what it's about. But I know this. God will not let you stay in that situation. He will deal with you. And I'm telling you, when God takes you to the woodshed, he knows how to do it. And it can be painful. He will chasten, and he will correct. And if he doesn't, listen to me carefully, though. Those of you out there who you call yourself Christian, if you're out there living in sin, and that sin is ongoing, and you can live in it and not be corrected and not be straightened out, if God doesn't take you to the woodshed, you know what? You had better wonder whether or not you're actually saved. And that is exactly what this man, the writer of Hebrews, tells us here. You are illegitimate children if you're not experiencing chastening. If you get into sin, God will take his own children to the woodshed. Now, you know, when my kids were growing up, my kids are grown and gone now, but when they were growing up and they were other kids over here playing, and, you know, if they got into things that they weren't supposed to get into and I had to go out and correct them, I didn't do anything to the kids who weren't mine. I'd just send them home. You kids go on home now. But I would take my children, I'd bring them in and correct them. That was my business as a father. That's exactly what we have here. And he goes on here. Let's push right ahead down into verse 9. We have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, this is practical stuff. If we, going back and looking back at the early verses of chapter 12, which we dealt with last week, if we do not lay aside every weight and the sin which is easily besetting us, so that we can run with patience the race that is set before us, God will take it up with us, and He will deal with us. And you know, I don't always know the problems that I'm having. Sometimes I have fallen under the discipline of God, and I really wasn't even sure why. Sometimes it doesn't appear until later on. There are things in my life that I am really not aware of. Robbie Burns, the Scots poet, wrote, "Would some power the gifty gie us to see ourselves as others see us?" Sometimes my brethren have seen things in me that I sure didn't see in myself. I've done things to people and said things to people that were very hurtful to those people, and I didn't even realize it. I'm just blundering along down the road. You know, God can see things in us we don't see. And sometimes some of this chastening is to correct us and to purify us. You know, it's like gold being tried. You put it in that furnace and you melt it down and the impurities rise to the top and are skimmed off. What's God after? Pure gold, brothers and sisters. Pure gold. He will settle for nothing less. And, you know, as we go along in our lives, He is refining and perfecting us. Now, we, as believers, have got a tremendous future ahead of us. We are going to reign and rule with Christ, not only throughout eternity, but more specifically and more immediately over this very earth. He's coming back, and He is going to reign over the Messianic kingdom. He will sit on the throne of His glory in Jerusalem, and all the Gentile powers will be broken. And Jerusalem will be the center and the capital, and all the nations will flow up to it. And guess who's going to be ruling and reigning with Him? The believers, the church, His bride, His body, His pearl of great price. We're going to be right there with Him. And even now, a friend of mine wrote in the front of his Bible one time, "Lifetime is the training time for reigning time." And God is perfecting us to this end. Look at this, that we might be partaker of His holiness. Now let's move right on along now. Right into verse 11. "No chastening, for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed." Isn't that this is great stuff, and practical, and it's the kind of stuff that, you know, this doesn't take some great exegetic teacher to get it out there where we can understand it. It's really rather obvious and rather simple. Now, those of you who are living through difficult times right now, I know what it is to live through difficult times. We all do. And I know what it is to be down. And all of us do. And we know that it's no fun. Our writer here hasn't told us in verse 11 there anything we don't know. We know that there are difficulties. Now, listen to me carefully. When you are living through difficult times, maybe it's because of sin. Maybe it's because God is perfecting other things in you. It is not necessarily that you are doing anything wrong. Maybe you are. Maybe you are not. Maybe it will take time for you to understand what God was doing. What you want to do is this. Lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Make straight paths for the feet. Go forward. Thank God. Rejoice that you are in His hands and that He is bringing you to completion and perfection. He has begun a good work in you, and He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. This is God's work. And, you know, you can rejoice in knowing that. You can submit yourself unto the Father of spirits and live. And this, once again, this is very practical stuff. Now, let me say something to all of you. This is another reason, though, why we always want to be kind and merciful and helpful and gracious to one another. Because I can tell you something right now. All of you who are listening to me are going to go through trials and tribulations. You're going to go through it. You're either in the middle of trials and tribulations right now, or you have been in trials and tribulations, or you're getting ready to go through some trials and tribulations. That's just very simple. And anyone who tells you, oh, well, that's not God's will for any believer to go through trials and tribulations. And if you're going through trials and tribulations, it must be because there's something wrong with your faith. Oh, nonsense. What's all this passage about that we've been reading here? There is, all Christians go through these things. And this is why you never, never want to be ungracious or unkind or unloving to anyone, but particularly to another believer, because you don't always know what they're going through. You think about yourself, though. When you are down, when you are hurting, what do you need and what do you want from your fellow believers? You want graciousness, don't you? You want help and kindness and mercy. That's what you want. Well, why don't you do that for others then? We need to support and build up and encourage one another. We don't need to be kicking one another down and kicking one another around. And there are some of you out there who do that very thing, and don't kid yourself about what you're doing. You have, you know, you feel like, you know, that your great calling in life is to be critical of other believers. Oh, I'm just helping them out, trying to get them. Oh, no. Please, don't do that, and don't kid yourself about what you're doing. You need to be gracious. Please do. Look finally at this, and this gets us right into verse 14 here, doesn't it? Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Follow peace with all men. We are to be at peace particularly with one another. Now, I'm not going to really have time to develop the full idea that's contained in this 14th verse, and so, Lord willing, we'll take this up again next time because we're running out of time. But look at this, and let's just look at the first part. Follow peace with all men. This is particularly true of Christians. We need to be at peace with one another, and to love and to have and show mercy to one another. Our brothers and sisters in particular need this. Now let me ask you something. Once again, how's your attitude? Can you thank God in trial and tribulation? If not, why not? He loves you and wants to bring you to perfection. This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.